So if you guys, in the church Bible, it's 1454, we'll be in Habakkuk, or Habakkuk, however you want to say it. I'm roaring a little here, and I haven't even started. Okay, so we'll be going over the entire book of Habakkuk, three chapters, and basically we're going to be focused on how we rightly see God in suffering and in doubt. So who was Habakkuk? He was one of the minor prophets. We don't really know much about him. As with most of the minor prophets, we only know what was written in there, and we do know that he was a minor prophet. He is simply introduced as the prophet Habakkuk in the introduction of chapter 1, and this indicates that he was most likely well known to Judah and needed no further formal introduction. I mean, they were probably very obviously familiar with him. He lived during the time of Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and Zephaniah, and some of his prophecies did kind of overlap Zephaniah's prophecies. It's most likely that this book was written shortly after the death of Josiah in 609 BC. So we're going to go to Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. Because Habakkuk had some questions, and he was bringing those before the Lord. So if you'll turn to Habakkuk chapter 1, we're going to read verse 1 through 4. The burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and you not hear me? Even cry out to you violence, and you will not save? Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. This is strife and contention. There is strife and contention arises. Therefore the law is powerless, and justice never goes forth, for the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore perverse judgment proceeds. Well, I'm sure that you have been in this situation before, where you saw things that were around you, chaos, things that don't make sense, and you probably were asking God, I don't understand what's going on. God, what is that I see here, and how can it be this way? And it looks like people who are wicked are not being punished, and they're getting away with everything. I'm sure that we've all felt that way or seen that with our own eyes. But one thing I want to point out is nothing is ever chaotic to God. And he sees everything. So in verse 2 through 4, Habakkuk sees iniquity and not justice. He is questioning God regarding what his eyes see, but what he does not understand. I think we can all relate to that. And so there's no sin in asking God to help us with understanding when we don't understand something. The sin comes when we blame him and make accusations that he's unjust, statements that go against his very character and blemish his name. God is holy, he's perfect, he's righteous and just in all his ways. And to say or think otherwise is most definitely sinful. So it's not wrong to wonder, not wrong to ask, but definitely wrong to place blame on God or blame him for wickedness or things or that he is not who he says he is in the Bible. God is long-suffering, wanting all to come to salvation rather than perish. We see this in 2 Peter 3:9 and Ezekiel 33:11. God holds back judgment, giving sinful man time to repent. But if repentance does not come, then God absolutely will pour out judgment. So 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In Ezekiel 33:11, we see, say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. God wants all to come to repentance and enter into salvation. It says he takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He holds his hand for judgment, but he will not do it forever. So it's important that we believe and trust in him now. So now we hear the Lord's reply to Habakkuk's first question. God says, look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days which you would not believe, though it were told you. For indeed I am raising up the Chaldeans, a bitter and hasty nation, which marches through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity proceeds from themselves. Their horses also are swifter than leopards and more fierce than evening wolves. Their charges charge ahead. Their cavalry comes from afar. They fly as the eagle that hastens to eat. They all come for violence. Their faces are set like the east wind. They gather captives like sand. They scoff at kings. And princes are scorned by them. They deride every stronghold. For they heap up earthen mounds and seize it. Then his mind changes and he transgresses. He commits offense, ascribing this power to his God. So we see here that God answers Habakkuk's first complaining or asking, hey, these people are wicked. And he's talking about Judah. They're wicked. There seems to be no judgment. There's nothing made right. And so God answers him, and God answers Habakkuk, letting him know that Judah will be judged for their sin and for turning away from God. God will use the Chaldeans as the instrument to his judgment. So this causes another issue with Habakkuk. He can't understand this. He can't understand why God would use a nation more wicked than Judah to punish Judah. And so he questions the Lord again. So 2:1. Are you not from everlasting? Talking of God's character, of who he is. O Lord, my God, my Holy One, we shall not die. O Lord, you have appointed them for judgment. O Rock, you have marked them for correction. You are of purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look on wickedness. Why do you look on those who deal treacherously and hold your tongue when the wicked devours a person more righteous than he? Why do you make men like fish of the sea, like creeping things that have no ruler over them? They take up all of them with a hook. They catch them in their net and gather them in their dragnet. Therefore they rejoice and are glad. Therefore they sacrifice to their net and burn incense to their dragnet, because by them their share is sumptuous and their food plenty. Shall they therefore empty their net and continue to slay nations without pity? I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. I think it's interesting that he ends talking about how God's going to correct him. So now we see in this portion that Habakkuk is now even more disturbed because God is using a nation more wicked to judge Judah. He doesn't understand this, and we often don't understand God's perfect plan or what's going on. We have limited sight, but what God does is always perfect and just. He does not understand how this can be reconciled with God's holy, perfect, and just character. So that's the struggle. He's saying, I see these things and they don't seem to match up with who you are in your word. So verses 15 through 17 is Habakkuk pointing out the Chaldeans' idolatry. Let's read it again, 15 through 17. as I find my place again here. They take up all of them with a hook. They catch them in their net and gather them in their dragnet. Therefore they rejoice and are glad. Therefore they sacrifice to their net and burn incense to their dragnet, because by them their share is sumptuous and their food plentiful. Shall they therefore empty their net and continue to slay nations without pity? So Habakkuk is pointing out the idolatry of these people, how they worship the things and not the God who created these things. So he's pointing out the Chaldeans' idolatry and wickedness as part of his question to the Lord. He wants to know how God can help him to understand this and how it can make sense. So in chapter 2, verse 1, Habakkuk stands watch. He waits for God's answer, already knowing God will correct his view. Because in the midst of this, even though he has questions and doubts, he already knows that those views are incorrect because of who God is. So in chapter 2, verse 2 through 3, then the Lord answered him. This is God's second answer to him. When the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. It's very interesting here how God in the second verse says, make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. So God has had Habakkuk now record this. So one, it'll be a testimony to what God said and what actually